firm a foundation, ye
say. Welcome to Through the Bible. Today, in our continuing five-year journey through the whole Word of God, we're traveling through the beautiful Gospel of Luke, thinking through the events of 2,000 years ago, through the eyewitness testimonies of those who lived and walked with Jesus. We're going to jump into our text in just a moment. So get your Bible open to Luke 1, beginning in verse 36, while I welcome Greg Harris, Through the Bible's president, to the studio. Greg, I was hoping that we'd have just one more opportunity to reflect and rejoice on how God has worked this year, so I'm so glad that you're here with us today.
Well, so am I, Steve. It's always great to be in the studio for a chance for you and I to talk about the great things God is doing. But there's something special about the end of the calendar year. We're getting ready for Christmas, thinking about the new year.
Right.
But we look back and we say, look at how God has been faithful to this ministry.
Yeah.
And that's what we love to do at a time like this.
And I think that's most evident in the fact that we started our 10th five-year cycle this year. Hard
yes.
to believe.
Yeah, it really is. And Steve, as you know, every December I write a reflective newsletter article about the prior year, and that was one of the highlights of this year. And I titled that article, The Unstoppable Power of God's Word. And isn't it a testimony to the power of God's Word that Dr. McGee's teaching, when he's been with the Lord for a few decades now, it's still as relevant as
right.
it ever was.
Right. The other thing that we've tried to do over the last couple of years with the addition of our Facebook page is allowing our bus riders, who oftentimes sit maybe not alone but just with one or two people, to interact a little bit more with those other members of the Bible bus. And we added our listener testimony line
yes.
this year. So if you're not good at writing letters, you now have one less excuse for not corresponding with Through the Bible and just doing it through picking up your phone and calling us.
Well, and to your earlier point about this being the beginning of the 10th five-year cycle, I want to say if you're a new listener, we really love to hear from you. Even if you just say, hey, I'm new on the Bible bus and glad to be here. It's
right.
so encouraging to see God bringing new people on the Bible bus all the time.
Right. And we also, however, do appreciate if you could tell us maybe a little bit about what you're learning and how it's impacting your life. That speaks to so many other people and is such an encouragement when you do that. Now, the other thing that anybody who's been on the bus for a period of time knows is our passion for the international
yes,
ministry.
Yes.
Over 100 languages and dialects around the world and counting. And TTBinmyLanguage.com, a website mm-hmm. that we have, now supports 95 languages of Through the Bible.
And Steve, we also have companion apps for pretty much any device you can think of, which
right.
means anyone, anywhere in the world that has a connected device can use this and hear the Word of God in one of more than 95 languages. And Steve, a lot of people don't know this, but as we sit here today, there are more active mobile subscriptions in the world than there are people in the
right.
world.
It is hard to believe.
It's really a mind-boggling statistic. Now, we should say that doesn't mean everyone on earth has a mobile device, but what it means is everyone on earth pretty much wants one. That's why we've put all of our content onto this wonderful website called TTBinmyLanguage.com.
Right. Now, looking down the list of things that have happened and developed this year, I also look at Mongolia, the country that we're so fond of because we've, in our lifetime, essentially been able to witness the birth of Christianity there in any real sense of numbers, and we've now surpassed 10 radio stations that are broadcasting Through the Bible in Mongolia.
Yeah, it's such a great point, and it's such a great story, Steve. You're
yeah.
right. How often do we get to see the birth of the Church of Jesus Christ in a country? We've seen it, and not only have we seen it, God has given us the privilege of being a ministry that is going to anchor all of these tens of thousands
right.
of new believers in the Word of God. What could be more exciting than that? And we are grateful that our partnership with FEBC has us now, as you said, on 10 different stations throughout that country.
Right. Now, looking around the globe, you think about Arabic TV. Mm. Here's a format that we thought, you know, Through the Bible with Dr. McGee would never go on to TV, and yet we've done it in Arabic. We're in our fifth year, hard to believe. Why don't you bring those who maybe aren't familiar with that ministry up to speed on it?
Well, as you and I have talked about, when I first brought this idea to our board of directors, and you're a member of that board of directors, I was a little bit fearful and wondering if they were going to say, this is crazy, we shouldn't do it. But we made sure we were faithful to the radio version, the Arabic radio
right.
version, which
right.
is faithful to Dr. McGee. And we are able to present it in a very visually engaging way. We're now on 7 times a day on 3 different satellite networks covering massive parts of the Earth. It's just a wonderful thing.
It's incredible. And then if you were to think about us, I mentioned this before, that, you know, there's hardware and software companies, and we're really doing both. We're primarily software, but we've also come out with our own hardware device. Why don't you talk a little bit about the Solar Bible Bus?
Yes, in partnership with MegaVoice, we are producing a solar powered audio players. It's basically, if you just think of something somewhat like a cell phone that never needs to be plugged in, it's powered by the sun. And as we've talked about before, Steve, it's the first time in the history of Through the Bible that we can offer somebody a device that doesn't need anything else to connect. It doesn't need a radio signal, doesn't need an internet connection, it doesn't need electricity to plug in, and you can hear the entire 5 years of Bible teaching plus the entire audio Bible on the Solar Bible Bus.
Yeah, such an encouragement. Greg, why don't you pray for us as we begin the broadcast?
Heavenly Father, we continue to rejoice in you and your power and the power of your word. Thank you for letting us be a part of seeing your word get to the ends of the earth. And we pray that you would transform lives as people hear the teaching of Through the Bible in their own language. Touch our hearts now as we open your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now we are in this first chapter, and we are following on down here to the birth of the Lord Jesus. And we have the announcement of the birth of John the Baptist. Then there was the announcement of the birth of Jesus. The angel Gabriel came to Mary and made the announcement, and she was the first one to question the virgin birth. She asked the question, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel was very specific about it. And Dr. Luke, who was a medical doctor, uses more medical terms than Hippocrates, the founder of medicine, ever used. And we find that here he goes into the detail, and he's the proper one to give us that. He says, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." You couldn't have it any plainer than that. And if you can't understand language like that, my friend, we need to go back and get our ABCs, I suppose, and also include a little of the birds and bees. Now will you notice, "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her who is called barren." See, the birth of John the Baptist is also miraculous, but not a virgin birth, by the way. Now, you'll notice the answer that the angel gives is a very good one, and it's something we need to hold on to today. Verse 37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Now, I want to emphasize that because there are a group of people who have taken that today, twisted it, and distorted it out of all proportion in the way in which it's given. There's nothing impossible with God when he says he's going to do it, but it's not necessarily so when you and I say it. In other words, a man said to me the other day, "The Lord told me to do this." Well, I told him that I didn't believe the Lord told him, and he thought I was a rank unbeliever. I think a lot of people use that cliche today to cover up the fact they want their own selfish desire. I knew the Lord hadn't appeared to this man to tell him what to do, but that's what he told me. And he failed. But before he failed, he told me, he says, gave me this little cliche again, "Nothing's impossible with God." Yes, I said, that's true. Nothing's impossible with God, but there sure is a whole lot that's impossible with you and with me. And it must have been with him because he failed. And you see, when a man makes a wild statement like that and fails, then it causes the unbeliever to ridicule, and rightly so. But he ought not to ridicule God unless he's quite sure God really said it. Anything God determines to do, he can do it, because there's nothing impossible with God. But that doesn't mean he's going to do everything I want him to do, because he may not want to do it, and that may not be his way to do it. Let's put everything in proper perspective today, before we begin to do all this loud talking that hurts the cause of Christ and harms it rather than helps. Now, will you notice verse 38? And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And I think this is one of the loveliest things that's ever said about Mary, is her submission to the will of God. She says, Be it unto me according to thy word. And you must remember that very moment a cloud came over her life, and that cloud was there until the Lord Jesus came back from the dead. Now, I'm of the opinion that many of the followers had question marks. But you see, he's declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead. He's declared to be not made, and the resurrection proves his virgin birth, by the way. And you can't deny the resurrection and believe the virgin birth. They both go together. Now, we have a visit that Mary made up in the hill country to Elizabeth. You see, she's up in Nazareth. Now she comes up, and to me it's always like coming down, because when you look at the map, it looks like you'd be coming down to Jerusalem. But it's always, any direction you went to Jerusalem, you went up to Jerusalem. And so into the hill country of Judea would be up. Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. Came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, we're dealing with that which is miraculous here. No use try to offer a natural explanation. You either believe it or you don't believe it, friends. I'm so weary of these people, especially preachers, that are trying to appear intellectual, and they try to tone down or explain away the miracles. Now, my friend, you either accept them or you don't accept them. Now, verse 42, she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And here you have this very lovely song. This is the first song that has been given to us by Dr. Luke. And as I said, he was a poet. He's the one that gives us all the songs of Christmas. And this is the first one. Blessed art thou among women, not above women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. There is a person in Scripture that we have very little to say about her, and that is this woman, Elizabeth. She sang the first song of the New Testament. And I think that when you have a soloist like this, you ought not to ignore her. She is a remarkable person. She had faith when Zacharias did not. And again, you say to me, how do you know it? Zacharias was struck dumb because of his unbelief, but Elizabeth was not. She believed God. And here, she encourages Mary. Mary's a young woman. Elizabeth's an old woman. She's walked with God many years. And she encourages her here. She said, there'll be a performance of these things. I'd like to give Elizabeth a little credit along here with all the others that they try to even deify today. Elizabeth was just a woman. Mary was just a woman, and she needed encouragement, and Elizabeth is the one to do it. Now we have another song coming up here. This is really a regular song festival we're having. And verse 46, and Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. Now this is what's known as the Magnificat. And it's a lovely thing. Listen to Mary. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Did Mary need a Savior? Well, she said she did. And she said she rejoiced in God her Savior. And she says, For he hath regarded the lowest state of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. And Protestant friend, lets us call her blessed, but not make her a goddess. We don't need an altar. We don't need to kneel down to her. But it was a glorious privilege to be the mother of the Son of God, to bring him into the world. Let's not play it down. Let's not play it up either. But there's no danger of us who are Protestants playing it up. There is a danger of us playing it down. She was a wonderful person, by the way. No accident she was chosen. It wasn't by chance. It was the definite decision of God, and he made no mistake. Listen to her as she continues to sing. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. And you remember, Isaiah said, to whom is the bad arm of the Lord revealed? And he begins immediately to reveal the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And so here, he hath showed strength with his arm. It's in salvation that God reveals his power as well as his love. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. I continue to read on, verse 52. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. There's more reference to Abraham than any other person in the Old Testament. In fact, there's more about Abraham than anyone else on the human plane in the Bible. He spake to our fathers, to Abraham, to his seed forever. This is a song. It's a wonderful song. I wish that we could go into it in depth, but this is the best we can do. Now, will you notice, verse 56, and Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now you have the record of the birth of John the Baptist in the remainder of this chapter. I'll lift out some high points here. And I read in verse 57, now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the 8th day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. And the reason they called him Zacharias was because of the fact his father's name was Zacharias. He'd be Junior, I guess. But that was not the name he was to be given. And immediately, while Elizabeth said, we're going to call him John. And they said unto her, there's none of thy kindred that's called by this name. You generally pick out a family name to give a child. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. Remember that this man's in a pretty bad way. He can't talk. And he asked for a writing table and wrote saying his name is John. They marveled all. It's amazing that apparently he was not only dumb but deaf. He couldn't hear. At least he didn't hear Elizabeth say his name was to be John. And they were amazed at this. This was the name God wanted him called. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. This man Zacharias is able to sing now praises to God because faith has come to a reality, but he didn't have much of it. And now that the boy is born, why, he can rejoice in God. And isn't that, again, a very human quality for many of us, that when God hears and answers prayer, why, then we can really rejoice. And I think that's sometimes the reason that God answers prayer for some of us weaker saints. So we'll have something to rejoice about, because we don't do much rejoicing, you see, unless we have a very strong faith. Now, will you notice, we read here, his mouth was open and his tongue loose. And he spake and praised God, and fear came on all that dwelt around about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Now it was quite obvious that this was to be an unusual child. And notice now that Zacharias, who was dumb for a period of about 9 months, he's now not only able to speak, but he's going to join in and sing us a solo. We've had a solo by Elizabeth. She sang the first one. Mary sang the second one. And I think it's quite proper now that Zacharias sing us the third one. Will you listen to him? His father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying. Now, this is a song that we have here. It's a prophecy, but it's a song. Now, listen. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Now, this man isn't in the line of David, but he recognizes that this boy is to be the forerunner. He's the one that Malachi had spoken of. He's the one that Isaiah had spoken of. He is the one that was to come to make the announcement of the coming of the Messiah. And the presence of the forerunner indicates that the Messiah is not far behind, that he's coming along, and though they may not know too much at this time. Now will you notice, and he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Now you see, God had promised that to Abraham, and they still believe the promises of Abraham, that they're to be fulfilled. There are some today that have given up. They do not believe God will make good the promises that he made to Abraham. And friends, you have no more right to believe in John 3:16 and discount the promises God made to Abraham. You have no right to do that. If God is going to make good John 3:16 to you, he's going to make good his promises he made to Abraham. And all of these people believe that at that time. Now notice what he says here. He says, And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. You see, he shall be called the prophet of the highest. He shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Now verse 78. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. He knew that the Messiah was in their midst, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Now that is a promise that God had made through Malachi, and he'd also made it through Isaiah. Verse 80. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and he was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. John the Baptist was a very unusual person. We've seen that already in the other two Gospels, and we'll continue to see it as we go along. Now we come to the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke. We won't get very far today here, but we're more or less running on schedule. As you know, we take up about a chapter, averages about a chapter each time, except the long chapters, because our schedule calls for us to cover about 26 verses a day. Now, we have been 3 days here in Luke, and we've covered 80 verses. So you can see we're running right on schedule here, and at the same time, we're able to cover a great deal of ground. Now, we come here to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, as chapter 2. This is Christmas. Well, this is just where we've come in our study, and it is celebrating Christmas. Tell the truth, I don't think he was born on December the 25th, But that's not the important thing. The important thing is he was born. And we can talk about it in October or November or December or the other 9 months of the year. Doesn't make any difference when you talk about him. But the important thing is that we talk about him. And so I'm going to take up next time this second chapter. I'd like to ask you to read as we go along, friends. It'll make this more meaningful to you. And the most important thing, after all, is for you to read the Word of God. And we're just attempting to offer a few little suggestions as we go along. And as you go along, notice the historical references that are made. Continue to note the songs that we have here. And then note the fact of the birth of the Lord Jesus and how it fulfilled prophecy.
Tomorrow, we'll hear the context of that wonderful announcement in Luke chapter 2, proclaimed across the shepherd's field. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Join us on the Bible bus tomorrow to discover what the angels meant. We've got plenty of room on the bus, so invite someone along for the journey, won't you? God bless you as you walk with him today.
Sin hath left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.